Thank you, June, and to the choir. It's good to have some of you back. And and welcome to all of you. So glad that you're here, because this is a day the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. I hope all of you feel welcome during this time of communion. And we also want you to know that you're most welcome to celebrate Holy Communion with us later on in the service. For that table isn't the church's table, it's the Lord's table. And if you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've been baptized in His name, you're more than welcome to commune with us. But we're glad that you're here. You know, every Sunday, I tell you to take home our prayer list that's in the bulletin, and this Sunday's no different. But Dorothy Owen has been added to it. She fell, broke her hip, and had surgery this week. She's right now at Woodland Heights and appreciates your prayers. Marty Hauser had a very mild, minor stroke, but he's at MD Anderson, so they can figure out how to keep that from happening again. So I know they would appreciate your prayers. We've been praying for Ross Kiger, Mary Kay Grum's son. They had a preemie baby, and the baby so far, so good. Born at 29 weeks is hanging in there, and I think that's due to your prayers. Helena, I forget the name that you texted me about, but I know there was a gentleman that's Christina's age that also had a preemie baby, but that infant is not doing well. So our prayers go out to you and your friends. So a lot of prayers. We need to pray for people in El Paso. We may not know them, but these are going to be people that need God's help for sure. So let's keep all those people in your prayers. If you're one of the persons, and you know if you are, on the nominating committee, just remember you're going to meet over in the conference room after worship. The rest of the announcements are there for you in the bulletin. But obviously, with the choir coming back, if you want to join them, just know that they're back to rehearsals on Wednesday. So come and make a joyful noise if you feel so led. If you will, turn to those around you, welcome them with the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So good. That really was a lovely prelude. Yes. How are you, sir? Peace of Christ be with you. May the peace of Christ be with you all.
Publish abroad.
join me, please, in the call to worship. We trust in you, O God, for you are faithful. God has made a covenant with us. God remembers the covenant, and God will save us. Let us pray. Lord, Almighty God, Creator of all and Redeemer of our world, as we come to you this morning, we just ask yourself to be known to your people. Be present in this worship time together to build faith, lift hope, and inspire obedience as we hear your good promises and discover your most blessed will. Thank you so much for giving us your counselor, the Holy Spirit, to travel with us as we make our journey of faith. And thank you that Jesus is here to shepherd us, your people, so that we know how to follow you through each and every day of our living. To you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, we lift our hearts in joy and we praise you as we invite you into our lives. In your great faithfulness, continue to be the Lord of our living. Amen. And let's praise God with our voices. If you will, grab your hymnal. We'll turn to hymn 179. Let's stand and sing, God is my strong salvation, hymn 179. Seated. This morning we do go to God with our confession. It'll be responsive this morning. But as we go, remember that God has proven throughout Scripture that, like the prodigal father, God rushes out when he sees us returning home. He rushes out to welcome our return, because God wants us to live together as his people. God is eager to welcome and redeem. So even though we have sinned, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence and confess. God has promised to make us God's people. God has promised to lead us in paths of truth. God has promised to forgive and show mercy. God has promised his kingdom is near. Faithful God of all, forgive us and renew our trust in you. May your continued mercy draw us back to you. Amen. Children of God, hear the good news. God's great mercy has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who are being protected by the power of God through faith. Know that thanks be to Jesus Christ, you are indeed forgiven and be at peace. And let's celebrate this forgiveness and this free gift of redemption as we stand and sing together, praising God with the Gloria Patri. Be seated. Galatians says, "Let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. With this in mind, let us not only keep from growing weary, but let us with thankful hearts share our blessings so that the ministry of Jesus Christ may continue." Oh God, you are not only good, but you are always so faithful to provide everything we need. We thank you for your steadfast faithfulness. And our hope is that we could continue to trust that, because you have proven over and over again that you are a God that loves to bless his people. And help us to be able to express that trust and that thanks as we share what we have with others. Put your blessing upon us and these gifts so that we might be used for your glory to continue that ministry of Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It looks like we have a lot out of town, but my faithful Hallie is here today. You want to come forward? I brought a lot of stuff with me this morning that we can look at, so hopefully it'll be kind of fun. Let me start with some items. You want to hold that for me? I bet during summertime you know what that is. Let me put our ninja knives down here. I got a lot of stuff. Here's another noodle. And a beach ball. And a candle and a flashlight. Got to get the Bible, of course. I want to read to you just a little bit more about Noah and his ark. Remember we talked about him last week? Well, if you want to have a seat, I'll tell this story to you and the others just a little bit. But if you remember, God was going to send a flood. Everybody was misbehaving, and God was so disappointed. He was going to send a flood, and people were going to drown. God saw that Noah had faith. So he said, Noah, I need you to remember the really big boat. Oh, this was Lexi that was here last week. I'm sorry. We talked about this. Noah's got to build a big boat. Do you know the story? And you know he's going to get all the animals on it, and him and his family are going to get in the big boat. Well, this is God talking to Noah, and he says, make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in the ark. Cover it inside and out with pitch. And this is how you're going to make it. The length of the ark is to be 300 cubits. Its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above. And put the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For my part, I'm going to bring a flood of waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. And God keeps talking to Noah, and at the end of all this, it says, Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. So he was going to build this really, really, really big boat, just like God told him to build. It was going to be a really big project. But our story ended. Noah said, okay, God, maybe a lot of work, maybe a big project, maybe hard, but okay. Here's what I want you to think about. We're going to shift gears for a minute. I want you to pretend that you're outside and a big winter storm comes. And as that winter storm comes and you're outside, would you rather have the t-shirt or the coat? Why? The coat, you think that'll keep you warmer than the t-shirt. I kind of agree with you. I think that's a pretty good call. All right. Now, let's pretend you're in a cave, and it is so dark that when you hold your hand in front of your face, you can't even see it. It's that dark, and you want to make your way out of the cave. Would you rather have a candle or a flashlight? Why'd you choose a flashlight over the candle? Because the flashlight's brighter? Yeah, and it'll shine the light farther too. You're exactly right. Also, the candle might go out. Yeah. So at least with the flashlight, you might have a better chance. All right. Let's pretend you live in Noah's time. It floods and it floods and it floods. Would you rather have the swimming noodles or the beach ball? The noodles? Okay. Yeah, both could help you float, but I'm like you. You'd float a lot better on those, wouldn't you? Yeah, okay, so she's going to take the noodles. Well, come over here, too, where I've got the Bible on top of the baptism fountain. Let's pretend kids at school are really giving you a hard time. Kids at school are just really not being nice. Would you rather have the ninja knives, or would you have the Bible and the baptismal font? Why would you choose the Bible? Because it's a lot less harmful. and it can teach you something. Hey, parents, you're doing a good job with your daughter. These are good answers. That you're exactly right. Exactly right. I'm glad that you would choose to do that because, you know, we talked about differences. Being in the cold, being in the dark, being in a flood, being in a problem at school. The Bible tells us about this, that when God's waters wash over us, maybe like a flood, the difference is they don't drown us. They wash our sin away. And God takes our cleansed life, and literally the Bible says, He places us inside Jesus' life. So our life, we need to envision, is in Jesus. I think that's a pretty good place for it to be, don't you? Because if you remember, Jesus was able to heal people that were sick. Jesus was able to take just a few pieces of bread and a couple of fish and feed thousands. Jesus was in a storm, and he was able to walk on water, and he was also able to tell the storm to be still, and it was. Jesus even died, and he rose to new life where death would never happen again. So when the Bible tells us our lives are in Him, and He can do all that, maybe we should trust Him if life gets real chilling or dark, or if the floods try to wash us away, or the problems seem to surround us. God's Word can tell us how to rise up out of this water and live like baptized people. And I'm glad that you knew that in the midst of problems was the right way to go. So I hope you, your parents, and everybody here will get into Jesus. And if you get into this book, it'll point you right to Him every time. So what we're to do is not like Noah who got into a boat. We're to get into Jesus, because He can do all things. Got it? Okay, good. Well, let's pray and ask God to help us trust Him in all situations. Let's pray. God, I thank You for Hallie, and I'm glad that she knows You and Jesus Christ. I pray for her and for us that You would give us a continued hunger for Your Word, that we would thirst for Your righteousness, and that by the strengthening, the power of Your Holy Spirit, You would enable us to do all things in Christ who gives us strength. For it's His name we pray. Amen. Y'all give Hallie a round of applause. Thanks so much for coming up, Hallie. Appreciate it. And we will sing our next hymn, which is going to be the insert in your bulletin, Trusting Jesus. Let's stand, grab your bulletin, and let's sing Trusting Jesus.
Trusting Jesus.
I'm going to read from Genesis, a few of those verses I shared with Hallie, but I'm going to read from chapter 6, verse 11 through 22. Before I do you know who the greatest financier in all of Scripture was? It was Noah. He was floating stock while the world was in liquidation. Yeah, I know. The sermon's better, trust me. We're going to look at him again this week to learn, you know, how we can live with a vibrant faith. And what I want you to pay attention to is how specific God is, how clear God is in what God wants, and how Noah is willing to do it no matter how inconvenient it might be. Let me pray before we read God's word. God, we ask you to be made known in and through your word, and that your Holy Spirit would inspire us to live by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw that the earth was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its ways upon the earth. And God said to Noah, I've determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. Now I'm going to destroy them along with the earth. Make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in the ark. Cover it inside and out with pitch. And this is how you're to make it. The length of the ark is to be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it with a cubit above, and put the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For my part, I'm going to bring a flood of waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And every living thing of all flesh you shall bring, two of every kind, into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds according to their kinds, and of the animals according to their kinds. Of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind. Two of every kind shall come in to you to keep them alive. Also take with you every kind of food that is eaten and store it up, and it shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, to my
Thank you again, choir. I'm going to continue on with our narrative, but I'm jumping over to Genesis 8, beginning in verse 13. In the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark, and he looked, and he saw that the face of the ground was drying. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. Then God said to Noah, "Go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds and animals, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, and every animal, every creeping thing, and every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out of the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and he took of every clean animal and of every clean bird, and he offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing odor, the Lord said in his heart, "I'll never again curse the ground because of humankind, for the inclination of the human heart is evil from youth, nor will I ever again destroy every living creature as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. From a very simple verse comes a very profound lesson of faith this morning. It's in Genesis 6, verse 22, where it states, Noah did everything that God commanded. Noah did everything just as God commanded. So we learned last week that Noah not only walked with God, but Noah also, we discover, obeyed God. So if we want to build boats that truly float, we need to trust God by way of our own obedience. I think the problem for us adults is we're all grown up. That means we've been taught what to do. We're responsible, right? I mean, we don't really need continued supervision, do we? Most of us are very self-sufficient, and I've learned in this congregation, quite talented. And that's why we have a lot of the blessings that we have in our lives. But there is this temptation, and it's a temptation, whether young or old, that befalls us all. And it's that temptation to trust ourselves. Just like Adam and Eve, you know, you will be like God. And they thought, oh, okay. Didn't work out so well. But the temptation is to trust ourselves rather than this invisible deity that we worship on Sundays. Because we often fall into that regular trap of thinking that our safety, our security, our blessing really comes from our own hands. But this is why the doxology that we sang just a minute ago is such an integral and important part of our worship. And the doxology, if you remember, we sang, "Praise God, not ourselves, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below." Because the good that we have in our life clearly comes from above. And whenever we sing the doxology, it's trying to remind us of that. And it's good to sing at the time of giving our blessings because those blessings are from God. We can let go of many of them and share them with others. Why? Because we know how much God loves us. And we can let go of those things that have come from God's hands into ours because we've learned to trust that there's more to come. The blessing will continue. So I can share some of what I have today because I know God's going to take care of me tomorrow. But the doxology reminds us where blessing originates and is given. And it's not from us. It's from God. So obey God, no problem, right? What if God asks you to obey something difficult or big? What if God asks you to live far, far differently than everyone else around you, as Noah did in his day? What if God asks you to live a certain way, and it's a way where you don't have all the answers and you have to trust God with a lot of uncertainty? How well do we obey when obedience is hard? Verse 22, Noah did everything just as God commanded. We had our measuring tape last week for the children's sermon, but for those of you here, you began to get an idea of the scope of this project God asked Noah to do. But the ark was going to be about 4 stories high. Do you know that the footprint of the ark would be somewhere around 33,000 square feet, give or take a few? Can you imagine today trying to get a building permit for a project of that scope? Jack, maybe you could, being in the construction business, but can you imagine all the supplies that would be needed to make a boat that is longer than our sanctuary? Can you imagine how long it would take to build? Can you fathom what neighbors would think if you were out in your yard building the Titanic? Nowhere near a body of water. And then, as I remember Bill Cosby's rendition of Noah's story, how are you going to get all those animals? If you get them, how are you going to get them on the boat? And the lions and the tigers and the bears, how are you going to do it without them eating you? How are they going to cooperate? Will this giant undertaking that God is requesting me to do really, truly float? Will it really get off the ground? So amidst all the questions that could so easily be asked, verse 22 just simply states Noah did everything just as God commanded. The questions, the many questions he could have had, probably did have, did not get in the way of his obedience. You know, I have a friend that would much rather do things himself rather than to have someone else tell him how to do it. And I remember that when he had 2 young boys, he got a swing set for the backyard. And so he got it in this huge box in the backyard, or boxes, and he opened the boxes and dumped all the parts on the ground, and he just started building. Didn't consult the instructions at all, but he started putting that puppy together. 6 hours it took to build this swing set playground thing for his 2 little boys. After 6 hours, and the little boys, they're looking over his shoulder saying, "Are you done yet? Are you done yet?" He finally stood up thinking he was done. He stood back and he looked at this marvelous swing set that he had put together, and he noticed that even though it was up and apparently ready for use, there was a lot of parts still over to the side. So his first thought was, gosh, I hope it holds together like it's supposed to. Before I let the kids on it, who are still going, Dad, can we get on now? Dad, are you done yet? He spent an hour in the dark, hanging on it, climbing on it, running on it, swinging on it, to make sure it would be sturdy enough to hold his children, because he wanted them to be safe. But he had to do that extra hour because he did not ever once consult the directions. You know, even though I'm a minister, I need to let you know, it's a confession, that I've often ignored God's plans for my life. And I've tried to piece together my life on my own far too slowly. I am still learning. All I really need to do in this world is to follow. It's to follow God's instructions. I showed Hallie a moment ago the Bible, and you know what B-I-B-L-E stands for, don't you? Basic instructions before leaving earth. You see, God wants us to know Him so it will go well for us like it did for Noah and his family. You see, in the Bible, God's blueprints of life have been clearly drawn. And so I need to ask, dare I build my life by those blueprints, especially when, or even when, they seem inconvenient and sometimes impossible? Because the key to Noah's fate was that he was willing to follow instructions. You know, I know in our world today we need great leaders, but let me tell you, as a Christian, we need great followers of the faith. And Noah, he's our example of how to follow instructions. By following instructions, Noah learned how to rise above the floods of life. By following instructions, God took Noah and his whole family to a brand new beginning. By following instructions, Noah discovered that God can and really does save. And I want you to think about this as it relates to Noah's story. One man's obedience saved all of humanity for generations to come. There would be no rainbows had Noah not followed God's instructions. Later on in history, another person's obedience would save all of humanity. Jesus came and he followed God into injustice and sin. Jesus followed God into terrible pain and terrific harm. Jesus followed God to a cross. Jesus even followed God into death and died. God raised that following Jesus from the grave, never to die again. And now that his obedience has provided our forgiveness and our everlasting life, we are all called not to get into a boat that floats, but we are to get into Jesus. For it's there in him we will find and experience God's greatest blessings. Amen. And you know, God does still want to be with us and bless us so that we are made able to live as His people. And communion is such a great picture of that. God says, I am still here in the presence of my Holy Spirit, eager to feed your hungry faith, so that your soul can be nourished and satisfied and you can rise up to walk with me all the days of your living. Today we're going to do communion by intinction. Ron is going to help me once I've blessed the elements. He'll be holding the bread. You can tear off a piece of bread. I'll be holding the cup. You can dip it into the cup and then eat the piece of bread that you've dipped into the cup. If you would, just kind of go back on the outside rows so that we don't get a traffic jam in the middle. If you're not able to come forward, we'll bring communion to you once everybody has been served. If you would prefer gluten-free wafers, we do have them here on this plate on the table. And if you would rather just take the sip from an individual cup, that's quite all right too. Those will be here on the table if you don't want to do the intinking. But the key is God invites us to come together to enjoy not only His presence, but the fellowship we have with those next to us. So if you will, take your bulletin and let us begin with our communion liturgy. Great is the mystery of faith. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. And let us pray. For it is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, eternal God, creator and ruler of the universe. You fashion this world in love. And you govern the earth with grace and peace. Nations and dictators rise and fall, but your reign is for all time, and your mercy is thankfully without end. And it was in love that you made us to love and serve you. Even when we turned from you and bent our knees to other gods of our own making, you spoke through your prophets to bring us back to your ways. You gave us a vision of your holy kingdom so that we might hunger after righteousness and thirst for justice and long for the day when your peaceable rule will triumph over the pride and greed of nations. We also thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Born as a king in David's line, he lived with the lowly and he cared for the least of your children. His power was revealed in weakness, his majesty revealed in mercy. His captors knelt to mock him, giving him bruises instead of praise, and piercing thorns for a crown. His only earthly throne was a cross on which to die. But even there, it was with his arms stretched out to embrace friends and foes in love that he continued to welcome us into your kingdom. From the grave, you raised him to your right hand where he rules again from heaven and commands true loyalty from his peoples. So it is, in remembering your gracious acts in Christ Jesus, we take from creation this bread and this juice and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we come to offer ourselves to you. And Lord, as we pray now for this wonderful opportunity to sit in your presence, we ask you to be with all the people on our prayer list and folks like those that are in El Paso, for parents that have had a baby in ICU, and for others. Pour out your Holy Spirit to be upon us and these gifts of bread and juice so that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, unite us with the living Christ and with all who are baptized in his name. Keep us faithful in your service until Christ comes in final victory, and we shall feast with all your saints in the joy of your eternal realm. So through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God. Receive us as we come together praying the way in which Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. So we remember how he celebrated the Passover on the night of his betrayal with his disciples. And when they were done with that celebration, he took the bread that was on the table. When he did, he gave thanks. And then he blessed it and he broke it, saying, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat of it. And then in the same fashion, he took the cup that was there, and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant. It's sealed in my blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. Whenever you drink from this cup and you eat the bread, do so remembering me, for these are the gifts of God, for the people of God, and you're welcome to this holy feast. I'd like to invite the choir first, and then when they're done, anybody beginning in the back that wants to come forward may feel free to do so. Blood of Christ shed for you. Blood of Christ shed for you. Blood of Christ shed. Blood of Christ shed for you. It's the blood of Christ shed for you. It's the blood of Christ shed for you. 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 Thank you. O Lord, like the loaf of bread, break us up and send us out to feed a most hungry world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go out singing our closing hymn, God Be With You. It's there as an insert in your bulletin. Let's stand and sing that together. God be with you. As you go, as you go with sound and all, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, both now and forever. Amen.